Thank you for hearing me out again. I'm sorry to take up so much time, but I want to clarify. There are two separate issues that we have motions about. One is about the burial preserve buffer zones. That is a separate issue. That was from the March 2019 meeting. The other issue falls under 13300-31, and that is in regard to the process of making something a known burial area, because the law states that a known burial is something found during the AIS or by oral or written testimony. So what we're asking for is to go through the process of oral and written testimony for the burial council to recognize this as a known burial area, and then for it to be sent to SHPD, to the department, for recognition, and then for the department to respond in a timely manner by the next burial council meeting what their decision is in terms of recognizing this as a known burial site. This is separate from the buffer zone. So the interesting thing about this is testimony was already taken by the public, and the 2017 December meeting, the burial council already acknowledged that this is a known burial area, burial site, burial ground, Pa'ilina. So my testimony, again, in regards to this site, is that Maui Lani Phase 6, specifically Increment 4, is a Pa'ilina for the following reasons. We have the archaeological monitoring report from ASH that was turned in June of 2018 that shows the 100 and, at this time, 69 burial features. During the court proceedings, we found out that there's over 180 burials in this area. So that is part of my testimony, that this is a known burial area. I have the 2013 burial treatment plan that discusses one site in the area, site 5718, which was originally listed as having three burials. In the 2013 plan, it says they made a mistake and there's 84 burials in that one site. Now remember, Lisa said that there was only 79 burials total when she came here in December of 2017. So I'm sure the numbers are still a little fuzzy, but we know there's at least 180. The burials and the immediate surrounding archaeological context, which is the language of 13300-31. The burials and the immediate surrounding archaeological context constitute a burial site worthy of recognition, again, by the council, as they did in 2017, and with previous burial councils. I've read testimony from Campbell Fukapu going back to 2008 that talks about these as being known burials. Halealoha Ayao was here in December of 2017, and he said, this is a known burial area. So the testimony is on record going back over a decade. So what we would like is for the council to recognize this again and reiterate the motion that was already on the floor and already had passed, that this is a known burial area, which will then qualify anything found as a known burial and not an inadvertent find, which means that anything found going forward comes before the council and we get to have a good faith community discussion with the people who care about the Irikupuna to determine what happens. So we have two separate issues. Buffer zones is one, recognizing a known burial site is another. Thank you very much.
Okay, so when you go back to the actual 13331, it states that a burial site recognized by the department based on oral or written testimony shall be classified as previously identified. And that's the reason for the motion. That's the reason for asking it to be designated as a burial site, so that it comes out of inadvertent,
right? But you can't find something that's already been found. This is something that's supposed to occur before they're found inadvertently. Because it says a burial site may be identified. Well, it's already been identified. It's already a burial site.
Is it?
Yeah. It is by the
but we're definition. But we're really talking about the boundaries. Not necessarily whether or not there are Evie in that context, in that dune context. What we're saying is, okay, each individual within there needs to be protected with a boundary designation that is sufficient to give all Evie and all potential Evie that have not yet been determined, because this has been trickling in for the last 10 years. And it's like a slow drip.
But that's why I'm saying that's not the definition of burial site by the law. A burial site is any specific unmarked location.
Okay. But what we're needing is to have a burial site designation so that development does not occur in an area that would disturb additional EV that are likely to be found at a 99% likelihood.
Yeah, but so. The term burial site is every burial.
Every burial, got that.
Right now, they may be a burial site, but they are inadvertent.
Right.
And according to 13331, if we identify the area as a burial site and Shifty accepts that, it can be recognized and treated as known burials.
I think that's an AG question at this point. We're not going to resolve it here.
I don't think so. I think that's a decision for the council and, if anything, for the people to make. Our goal here in this council is to preserve and protect. You know, and right now we're mincing words over definition. Mm-hmm. We're not getting the protection done. We need to consider protection. And this, I see it as, what do you call it, somewhere outside that first definition of what burial sites are, but it takes into account how we can take care of that problem.
Okay, so are we continuing testimony or are we moving? Do we have anybody else to testify?
We have Foster, Claire, and then Honey Law signed off.
Okay, Foster. And then one quick question. Is this still one agenda item? Are people going to testify after each presentation, or do they get one chance to testify on this agenda item? So I want to clarify with you guys first.
How many more presentations do we have?
There's this one, and then we're going to have a GPR presentation.
Consolidate.
We'll keep it to one.
Okay, so whoever this agenda. So they get to testify one time. Okay, so everybody understands, you can testify one time on this whole agenda item. It's going to be prepared.
Okay, Foster.
Oh. Aloha. My name is Foster Ompong. First thing I'd like to do is I want to ask the attorney for Tan Realiti if I could have a copy of Judge Cordova's ruling. Because as I listen to the discussion, there are several facets that I'm picking up. First of all, a lot of valid, good points are being made by council members. Okay? The other facet that I'm picking up is that there's the semantic, the legal semantic issue. Okay? So it goes back and forth. I think in regards to the preservation area, as well as the legal definitions, et cetera, we're talking about boundaries. And on reality, if I'm correct to understand the discussion, has the ultimate authority decision to say, okay, this is a burial.
Exactly.
Not SHPD, not the burial council, not the Kanaka from behind the bushes, which they throw in stone, but no more Kuleana, okay? Encapsulating everything, I pretty much see what we're addressing here really is Maho'oi. Okay, so we're talking about the Battle of Takanilua. And as I made in my presentation in last month's Barrel Council meeting, when I came forth with my cultural descendancy claim, those that came from the Big Island, Kalani Upu and his two armies, the Alapa and the PP, they were Maho'oi. They came here to kill. They came here to slaughter my Maui family, our Maui family. But as the events unfolded, they got passed off by Kahikili. I mean, that's a fact. I'm not throwing out any kind of judgment or opinions or anything. I'm just basically stating facts. And so this is where I'm going. I did not want to get involved with this Maui Lani controversy. I received the email in March as an Ahamoku rep from the Waluku Burial Council member asking for me to convene an Ahamoku meeting about this very issue. I had questions. I had no details. I mean, almost 80% of what was discussed here in the last hour, I had no information. I asked for information. I was told that, oh, that was previous information, only cultural descendant. could have that information. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, but it's supposed to be public, right? So okay, now my culture descended, I'm recognized by the Bureau of Council. I still didn't get the information. I asked, I emailed, I called. I got a little bit here from SHPD. I finally decided to reach out to Maui Lani, and I was directed to Lisa Azuka, and she finally got back to me yesterday saying that she would provide me the necessary reports that I'm looking for. I cannot make sound decisions without detailed facts. And so the issue about this area in regards to the preservation area, it's always going back to the AG and the landowner. The AG, yeah, okay. So for us to actually come to a very, very, very balanced and formal a place to make the decision, we need information. As a culture descendant, please give me some time. I want to go over the material. I'm not just going to believe any Kanaka come out of the bush and say, hey, bro, sign this petition. And I don't know anything about it. I need facts. Vaheli brought up excellent points. Scott, you discussed excellent. Miss Pacey, you brought up excellent discussions. You know, I want to see the AG here. So the AG can answer this question. I want to see the respective engineer, the designer for Maui Lani here, so he can answer the council's question, so this doesn't drag on another 3-4 years. That's what I want to see. I want facts. You know, how much more do we need to realize to look at this whole area here and say, wow, there's a lot of EV. Yeah. I don't want to go into anything else because it's multifaceted. And you know what? We're only going to be throwing spears and stones at each other. Let me end by saying this. Maha'oe applies not only to the Haoles, they apply to us Hawaiians. Now come pick my mango from my tree without asking me first.
Mahalo, Professor.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Any questions? Clear? And then Kaniloa.
Good morning. Thank you for your hard work. It's been truly a long journey for all of us. Longer for some of us. And I think that what we all need to remember is why we're here. And that is to protect our iwi kupuna. All of us. We may have different opinions, but in the end, it's all about our iwi kupuna. And I see you trying really hard to get through these laws, and the non-response from SHPD and those who should be giving better guidance. And I thank you for that. It is a really hard struggle when we forget that the burial laws were meant to protect the unmarked burials, not to make it so that a developer can develop over them. We always have to remember that even in this state law, the burials, the historic burials, are known as property that is not of the developer. They are for all of us to care for. And I'm sorry to hear that we have sometimes succumb to fighting among Kanaka when the real issue is how well are we protecting our burials. I want to ask you how many of these burials that were found, of these finds that were found, were within a buffer zone that should have been protected by the AMP, which is a litigation. How many of them were found this way? And I just want to say this. I'd like the people who are responsible for, who feel they are responsible for determining if this is a burial area or not, how you can dismiss the fact that if you take this wide span here, with the golf course here, and then we have phase six here, we have Mavilani Parkway, and then it's going to be phase eight. You have 25 burials that were found before 2007 in this 3-acre preservation. Next to it, you have the phase six burials going right along in one line. And guess what? Sand dune was there. And then you go outside that, there's a couple more burials in the phase nine portion. And then you go across the street, there's burials inside the street, Mavilani Parkway. And then you go across to phase eight, and there's the 62 plus 10 burials that were found. How, I would like to know if they can explain how this could not be a known burial area. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Next, we have
Hello, Camilo Camon, Bahia Valley. So to be clear, we testify on each item, or is it just
on agenda item, which is Mavilani subdivision 3, seeking permit 4.
Okay.
Anything so related to that?
Okay. So first thing, I think it's very inappropriate that Spacey participate because she has financial gain in this situation. It's very inappropriate for her to defend herself in this quorum, the way that she's doing, because she has money in this project. They sold that project to them. And for her to come here and fight her case is very inappropriate. She wants to fight her case, then go to court. Otherwise, stick to the subject matter. Subject matter is what you guys are talking about, which is the rights of other people, not her rights. And not the right face seats, not to be brought in here and to be hashed out. That's, she doesn't have that right to do that. But we don't have the right to come here and do exactly what she's doing and using her authority in this place to be able to do that. So I say it's highly inappropriate for her to take such action. Yeah, I don't want her away guy. I don't got her standing on the side, throwing rocks for now. But I don't want her away. You know why? The guys don't want her away. They don't want to bring up, how do you think all these people came out here? Because people sit behind the computers and talk. They come out, they stand in front of the people who don't like to see them stand. That's like Mahoe. And may I make a distinction about Malamaka Kanilua? Who was Kananiopu's wife? Where was she from? Maui. Yeah. So she had every right to Mahoe. She had every right to come fight with her brother. She wanted to. That was her tradition. That's how they become kings. They become kings because they challenge people and they fight. This is what they do. I am Kanaka. This is my people. I've been standing out there with my friends and my family, making us look like fools. People think we're not. You look at my truck, I drive around stuff. Why? Because people don't get it. If I'm Mahoe, good for me. By throwing stones, good for me. Because you know what? A stone may hit somebody, and we're here today. So cool air for us. This is our people. And to sit there and listen to people talk about them, they got like everyday business so they can cash their checks. It's hell up. I ain't standing for this crap. So by my own, that's me. Put my name on the dictionary. Put them, explain them, put my name, put my picture. Because I am that person. And I always gonna be that person. Because that's me. As long as they keep touching them, I gonna be there. Be sure. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Hi, everybody. I think we got to kind of take a long breather here. The issue at hand is the protection of girls. I've been on this council as well. And I know how hard it is to shuffle and juggle all these issues before us all the time, but I think we got to remember that this party was put together for the benefit of the protection of our people. And we all related to the problematic situation that we face is the state put a process together, yeah, to include people that have an interest to this. Everybody fulfilled their responsibilities by the application that was provided by the state, yeah, when it comes to recognition of perils, and when it comes for the descendancy claims. I also included my descendancy claim for this era. And I still never did nothing yet. So the reason why I came to you is to submit to you my information that I submitted in the Bureau of Conveyance on the land clerk, my connection to this Kupuna, known as Kaibi, within that area. But my grandmother, her name was Julia Kianaai Namaunu. You related to the Kamaunu family too, I'm not sure. But I ask you this council again, if this is the spin to allow people with the right to adjudicate this based upon a cultural or lineal descendancy status, I will put my people in one more time. Now this one, I got it recorded and documented to the Bureau of Conveyance. So the reason why I must submit this to you, yeah, because I don't know whether or not I should be placed on our agenda for recognition because the state already recognizes me as a descendant. So I just put in these papers for it to give you guys today and let you know that I have an interest in this matter. If I have an interest in this matter, then as well as everybody else and myself, we are asking for you to do your due diligence. Yeah, it's not the state's responsibility right now today. Now that this is an agenda item for the Borough Council, you are the ones that needs to make the decisions here, despite of the state. The state, I acknowledge the rules that were set together. I acknowledge the body that comes from this table right here, that you should be the deciding factor. What happens, what our personal today. So, I'm going to submit this to you, Michael. Okay. If I have to submit all the appropriate applications, I know I have already.
Maybe if we can meet after, we'll just double check
okay.
Everything is in.
Let you know this is certified.
Thank you.
Okay. And it's a document submitted in a bureau of conveyance. Thank you.
We're going to go back to
one more thing. Because we finished public testimony already. And you can release Mr. Carroll, so you can go.
There's one more.
Oh, there's one more.
No. The lawyer. He's on. Okay, we're going to close public testimony. Do we want to go back and talk about the motion and on the floor?
And I don't know how to ask this, but Leon, can you clarify your relationship with Pound? Somebody brought up that you're employed by them?
No, I have no relation to them. Yeah.
Okay, so the motion.
It's on the floor.
So, the motion is to ask SHPTI to make a determination regarding recognizing this area as a this area, not each individual one, this area as a burial site in accordance with
we want to say site limited to just one set of remains, or are we looking for like a burial grounds, yeah, or a plot?
Well, in the law, it says a burial site.
which each barrier already has the distinction.
Right, but we're asking for a collective site.
Cluster.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Well, rather than ask that they make a recommendation, that they make a decision on that, we're actually asking them to...
So we've recognized it before.
Well, we made a decision on it.
We've made a decision, but they need to...
They need
to acknowledge that decision. So that's what we're asking.
And just for clarity's sake, when you say this area, you mean Maui Lani Phase 6, Increment 4?
Yes. As stated in that previous motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, because it involves a much larger area, but for this particular project, you should just keep it to the project.
Yeah.
Could I ask a question of Keamoku? An informational question? Is that okay? Keamoku? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Hi. For historical context, what is Honokahua designated as at the Ritz? Honokahua at the Ritz Carlton. Is it? I know, but that's why we're all here. So what did that end up getting designated as in terms of? Is it a burial site? Is it a burial preserve complex? What is that?
Preserve, I think, is
a very huge burial complex.
Right. Okay. So that, I mean, that's sort of the terminology that we're trying to do, right? To get sort of a broader view of this area and get out of the isolated. To me, that seems like it's the most similar type of situation that we would be referencing.
Yeah. Not to even make a determination based upon the size, so literally it's extensive. I think within 6 acres, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
9 acres.
Okay.
Nine.
Oh,
9 acres. How am I?
Oh,
okay. So about
no, the particular area. Yeah. But thank you. Okay.
On the purchase of property, if I'm not mistaken.
Complex is at your right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that, I wanted to sort of throw in that language so we can get out of this, you know, sort of piecemeal.
And the only reason I'm saying site is because that's how it's designated in the law.
Yeah. Mm.
But what, to be clear, what we're asking for is for that area to be designated a site, and not, we have individual burial sites. We're asking for the area to be designated a burial site.
Or complex.
B6 increment 4 be recognized as a burial site complex, just say all.
So the motion is to ask Shifty to decide.
Make a determination.
Make a determination regarding the motion that we passed on March 6, 2019. And I can give you the language.
What was the date again? March 6th?
March 6th, 2019.
Confirm a determination? Confirm our motion?
Make a determination whether it is or it isn't, and if they're in agreement with our determination that it
so
is.
Basically, all they're going to do is confirm it, right?
I'm just writing down from what you said, what I have is the Maui Lanai Island Burial Council requests that State Historic Preservation Division to make a determination regarding MLIBC's...
Maybe we're asking them to recognize.
Determination regarding the recognition of the Maui Lanai Island Burial Council's motion of March 6, 2019 regarding Maui Lani Phase 6 Increment 4 as a burial site preserve or complex in accordance with state law.
Yes.
That,
yes.
Thank you.
You could read that other motion you referenced to in this motion.
Yes. This is the motion passed on March 6, 2019. MLIBC recommends the designation of the remainder of Maui Lani Phase 6 Increment 4 to be designated as a burial preserve area, with the designated area to be determined by the Wailuku representatives and cultural descendants of the Wailuku Ahupua.
That'll be part of that huge motion.
Yeah. So I move.
I second.
Second.
Okay. Let's take a vote. You want to read the motion? All those in favor of the motion that Kahele just motion.
I'm just writing it down as her
Scott
motion.
Scott seconded.
Yeah.
Please say aye.
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 Opposed.
Okay.
She can't vote, yeah.
Well, she has no affiliation from what she's...
No, but she... Oh, okay. So my I'm sorry. Just thinking that.
Let me just close this really quick.
In previous meetings, you recused yourself.
Yeah, I second.
These discussions, so I was just wondering if it's the same thing.
No, I recused myself related to phase 9.
Okay.
Different project.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, I guess we can return back to our first agenda item, which is A. And we have an hour and a half on this. So let's try and keep this quick. We wanted to, Ikaito, do you know which other family members applied to this set of remains in Waihee? You get the motion, yeah.
Yeah, I gave what I wrote down in Kahele's. And Kahele, if you get a chance, maybe just write down, just make sure I got it right.
So in order to try and consolidate some of our agenda items,
we're gonna go together.
Together.
We're gonna go together.
Perfect. Okay. And so the first one we have, returning back to item A, is cultural descendancy recognition of Jennifer Noel Laneahia to identify human skeletal remains at 32 Island of Maui, Kanan K 2-2-10-17. Discussion and determination, you know what that is. And then we're also going to lump in, what was your, is it the C? Yeah, C and A and C.
So, which agenda item are you moving right now?
A and C.
Are we moving to executive session, or are you going to leave this open?
What is that?
Are you moving to executive session because of the discussion?
Are we going over?
What are we going over? I'll let you know.
Okay.
So, no, actually, nothing. Okay. Aloha, I'm Noelani Aguia, and this is my sister, Mahialani Aguia. She's in from Oahu. She's doing her PhD in Hawaiian literature at UNG Manoa. And so she wanted to claim descendancy as well. So what we are going to do this time is she's claiming descendancy to phase 6 and phase 9, which I already have. We are both adding on Maui Lani phase 8, TMK ending in 151, and we are both claiming the Waihe'e burials that were recently discovered. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're just gonna do Waihe'e, I think, for now, and then we'll move to Maui Lani,
so
but you guys can just stay there.
We're just gonna give you it all together, because it's the genealogy.
Same
whole block.
So, the problem is I have different recommendations from Shiki on both items, so, okay.
I know, I understand. So what we're going to do, as you know, I claim descendancy to the...
First, before we start, do you want to go into executive session?
You know, actually, I don't need to go into executive session, because all of this genealogy is available online. I really don't need to be that private about it, and I already have developers who are trying to question. And as far as I'm concerned, they can go ahead and have a contested case. I have nothing to hide, and I'm not afraid. Thank you. I'm proud to stand for my kupuna and speak their names. So, as you know, last time I claimed descendancy to the warriors who came over from Mokopiawe. That is because that is who is speaking to me and that is who is showing up. Recently, I've been visited by the Pi'ilani line. So today, we're claiming our descendancy through the Pi'ilani line of Maui, who also connects into Ke Kaulike and Kahikili of Maui in Waiheke. So, yes, we're going to give you our genealogy and then you can ask us questions. My sister will be doing it this time.
O Pi'ilani Kekane, o Laie Lohe Lohe Kawai Kawahine, o Kiha Pi'ilani Kekane, o Kolea Moko Kawahine. O ke kauhi kalani ke kane, o kapu I holani kawahine. O ikea kea pono ole ke kane, o makakui kalani kawahine. O kauau o makakui kalani ke kane, o pue aboki I kawahine. O lona ika makahi e lua I ke kane, o kai lua kea kawahine. O ko o kui na maku ke kane, o ko ho o waha kawahine. O kai na hokukahi ke kane, o kauakua kawahine. O ka uhi ai moku kua kama ke kane, o lukia kawahine, o ihi ka woki ke kane, o ihi kolopana kawahine, o kea kea lani ke kane ke kane, o kale makali I kawahine, o kea ale ku I ke ai ke kane, o kiha wahine kawahine, o umi hulu maka o ka lani ke kane, o ka aloa I kanoa kawahine, o luahine ke kane, o hiku I ke kua lono kawahine, o kaha i ika waiea ke kane, o ke aka ku i ka lani ka wahine, o huha kaha i ka waiea e lua ke kane, o hiki makaloa i maka ahi lolo makaloa ka wahine, o Captain George Beckley ke kane, o ahia ka lai ku maki e ki e lua ka wahine, o Captain Kaui ke oho li ahia ke kane, o Nancy Lukoho Lani Luhana Beckley ka wahine, o Abraham Fred Beckley ke kapala ke ko'o, Mahoi Ahia Kekane, O Melinda Malena Kale Kavahine, O William Malulani Kale Paihala Ahia Kekane, O Teresa Papa'ula Palakimbo Kavahine, O Samuel Papa'ula Ahia Kekane, O Ella Dina Makue Kavahine, O Clement John Ahia Kekane, O Kathy Jane Young Kavahine, O Cameron Mahialani Ahia, Me Jennifer Noelani Mehia, Nakama Wahine, I Kia'i Na Ili Kupuna Hiva, Me Ke Aloha Palena Ole.
Mahalo for being here today and allowing us to come before you to ask to be recognized cultural descendants to the burials, both in Mauli Lani and in Waihe'e. Specifically, Kiha Pi'i Lani was a cauliflower farmer in Waihe'e. And we have Mo'olelo from Kamakau and from Forenander that talks about his beautiful color that he was growing to feed the people. So I had a conversation with SHPD and we had a little bit of discrepancy about the language in the law because it says ancestors who are who lived or were buried or both in an Ahuta'a or district. And so I understand that they recommended not to allow us to use the Waihe'e genealogy for the Wailuku Ahupua'a. However, I would like to note that in most of Shifty's materials, when they talk about a district, they're talking about the Mokutu, and we did speak about this before when I came before you last time. So I'm just going to read, this is an AIS from Central Maui, from Lisa Rotuno Hazaka, this is a 2007 report, and it says Wailuku Ahupua'a and Wailuku District. So the definition of district for Wailuku, it says the district of Wailuku contains the Ahupua'a of Waihehu, Waihe'e, and Kahakuloa to the north, and Waikapu and Kulehu Nui to the south. Wailuku Ahupua'a is a large land division stretching around Kahului Bay from Kapukalu to Kapukalua. It includes the northern half of the Kahului Isthmus with Iao Valley and extends across the isthmus between East and West Maui from Kahului to Ma'awaya Harbor. This land division land division comprises nearly half of the district of Wailuku. So I would further like to point out, you know, for us, when we look at our genealogy, all of us have multiple lines to go in many, many different directions. So even from this Pi'ilani genealogy, we connect back into Keikaulike and Kahikili. So our ancestors, these specific divisions of Ahupua'a are a more modern concept, more post-context concept that our people were traversing between, especially in the Waiʻeha, traversing between Ahupua'a. So I would argue that limiting a descendancy to only having an ancestor in that Ahupua'a is a limited interpretation of the law, and it further prevents people from protecting Ilikupuna. And as you know, I've been here a lot, I've been on the ground doing whatever I can to protect the Ilikupuna because I feel that it's my kuleana. And my sister, from where she is on Oahu, has been helping us write grants to get funding to pay our lawyers. When she comes back to Maui, she comes to the vigils with us, she does pule with us, and she participates in our events. So we both feel very strongly about protecting the Ivi, and that is why we're here. So I'll let you folks discuss however you want to about the different phases. But did you want to say anything, sister?
The law does say Ahupua'a or Moku.
District.
Or district.
Oh, district, sorry, okay.
Yeah. So, and that, what you stated was Lisa's...
So if you look at all of the AISs and almost all the work that's turned into SHPD about the area, that's the definition for district. And this is accepted by SHPD.
Yeah,
so no, it's accepted by SHPD across the board.
In the genealogy you recited, I thought I heard Kahikili.
No, actually, okay. It's Ka'uhi'ai Mokuakama. That is Kahikili's elder brother. He was actually the hiapo of Ke Kalike, okay. But he wasn't given the mo'i ship because his mama and him were the same.
Okay.
But he's still a relative.
So, he's the brother of Kahikili and the
son.
Kahikili is in white.
You're welcome to recognize us under that, but I would like to really see that anybody in the Vai'eha is recognized. I would like that point to be made, that even if we only had Waihe'e, that we could still speak for the burials. Especially given up until this year, up until January, there were no descendants recognized for this area. Thank you.
Can anyone come in?
Yeah.
So, you know, regarding Waiuku, Waikoku, Waiahu, and Waihe'e, you know, the way that we have modernized, well, okay, the idea of strict moku, ahupua'a within moku is a sort of modern institution. And what we do know about these four areas is that they weren't like any other place, right? They talk about them in all kinds of different ways, but mostly about how they're categorized together under different kinds of terms like Na Vai'eha, Na Pu'ali Komohana, Na Poko. So when you read all kinds of mo'olelo, and even when you talk about land tenure prior to this sort of very strict moku ahupua'a, and even during that time, Na Vai'eha was always given this unique character. Where they were related and they were put into this kind of district by themselves. Another thing is that when we talk about the pu'uone, we know that the pu'uone, and I think this is part of the reason for this, is that the pu'uone were continuous from Waihe'e all the way to Waikapu. So it makes sense, right, that they have this different kind of unique identification and character, because they share a lot of things. One of those most prominent things being this pu'uone that again ran through all of them. The last point I want to make, and really I'm trying to say that when we talk about these four Vai areas of Maui, I agree that we should consider them as a district unto their own. And not separate them out as four districts. And my last reasoning for that is that even when you think about Iao, which is, as far as I'm concerned, probably one of the most sacred places on our island. Why? Because they hold burials of some of our most, our oldest and prestigious kupuna. But we also know that these kupuna did not reside in the Vai'eha or even on Maui, right? And if you read David Malo, in the last section under Kapava, it tells you about all the different kupuna that are buried up in Ia that did not come from Na Vai'eha, that did not come from neighboring districts, that oftentimes did not even come from Maui. So the idea that only a person who was living in that ahupua'a would have kulianu to there is really not a traditional concept at all. So given these points, when we are considering cultural descendancy claims to one of the Na Vai'eha, I think that they should be recognized for all of them.
Do you see this being specific to Na Vai'eha as district in terms of moku?
I actually don't, because I know that, you know, traditionally speaking, our kupuna were buried all over the place. And not just in your ahupua'a, or even not just in your moku. But I'm making this point, I think because Na Vai'eha has a very clear determination as a unique district.
Yeah.
I think it's something that is, you know, not difficult.
Well, there was a chief who was a contemporary of Ka'ulahea named Hua Puhukaina, who died at Waihee and was buried in Ia.
Yeah.
So that
Absolutely.
Right there, you can see that boundary. But one thing, I guess, the question is, how does SHPD define district? Does district, like the common usage, refers to Moku
district?
When you think Moku Wailuku, Moku Wailuku, we think of the district of Wailuku.
That was one of the questions for the AG, right?
And that's a really good question for the AG to give the official opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I
common
wonder,
usage vernacular says
right.
Moku is a district, but so I. Could we get the AG to make a determination on that? Because that would give us greater leverage. Because if, well, I don't know. I'm not even sure if it would be valuable.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's, yeah. It's a good discussion, because what we're trying to remind the state is that these are Hawaiian traditions. It's a culture.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily fitting into their
Western.
Okay, so with that in mind, we're educating them about that continuity of a place, not just the Pu'uoni, but that people lived throughout there, the families lived throughout there.
Yeah.
In our family, we have someone who has land in Waihee as well as in Waikapu. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all over the place, and they must have lived in between as well. So I like the thought that we hadn't considered before, that we considered Nava'eha as one body. You're not going to find a collection of people more related than in that one area.
In terms of state law, just for clarification too, Act 212 of the Aha Moku does recognize a district as a moku.
As a moku. Mm-hmm.
So the state has already made that clear.
Okay.
Can I say something else? I just wanted to say, in regards to my ancestor, Kalani Opu'u, coming to Maui and being Maha'oi, yes, that was the tradition. Those things that he did hurt me in certain ways, but I'm trying not to judge it by my modern understanding. I'm trying to think about where they were at that time. But you know, for somebody like most of us who have genealogy from both, I think that it is the kuleana of our generation to mihi that, and to hold ponopono within ourselves, within our ohanas, and within our community, so that we can all stand for our community together.
Yeah.
And you're just and I totally agree. I think we have to remember that it's Ibi that we're talking
exactly.
about, and that we bring this homia into their realm. It's not, and regardless of it's kanaka or developer, we're putting the burden on them ultimately. So our kuleana and focus needs to be directed completely
yeah.
to them, and to try and leave that on the wayside and remember that. So I think we want to move on.
Yeah.
But I want to, we didn't even listen to Shifty's recommendation. Usually we do that prior to even getting started. And we're trying to cover four agenda items at once.
And I don't have
it. Yeah, so
yeah, I don't have their recommendation for
their
white.
But I want to hear, so we're covering AC, and that's under Noelani, and BD under Mahealani. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask Kaika.
If we can take them one at a time, please.
Okay.
We'll
start with
okay.
A.
What?
So she met with Shifty, I believe Inano, Kela, and myself, and submitted her application. But just due to time constraints, we weren't able to, Kelana wasn't able to get the recommendation ready. So we have no recommendation at this point.
For A?
For item A.
For B?
Yes. And
should we stop moving? Well,
just lost.
Yeah, okay, keep going for B. Should we make a motion on A
yeah,
first?
Yeah, we go one at a time.
Okay.
So Shifty does not have a recommendation for item A at this time.
I guess my only thought with doing a recommendation or not a recommendation right now is what will be challenged in court and what will
yeah.
wrap things up more tightly in court and therefore take longer to resolve. So if we wait for a recommendation or a non-recommendation, then, you know, I mean, to
they
me...
They can challenge me in court, I'm fine with it.
Oh, okay.
You know,
but what makes things more or less effective in advocating for the EV, which is what we all want, and if this is also challenged in court, does it give less
credence to
that we're just haphazardly.
I see why they're.
But it's not only yourself that would be in jeopardy, I guess it is. It's also the weight and the integrity of the fair
so
council.
So I have a question. I have a question for Ikaika. So is it just time
yeah.
that.
And I think a lot of you're seeing on the application came in on, I think, May 1st, and you just didn't have time to get through it. So not. We'll hopefully have it ready by next month.
You know, when we actually met, we met 2 weeks ago, and he said everything was fine. And then when I came in again to come in with Auntie Lala, I met with Kano, Ikaika, Kealana, and Auntie Lala and myself were there. And he told me that everything was fine. He asked me to bring it in case they had any questions. I brought all of my genealogy. Kealana asked me a few questions, wrote everything down, said it was fine. And then Hinano, later that night, was the one who later said that he couldn't verify it, but he didn't ask me a single question. So I feel that I did my due diligence and I showed up with everything. And he could have asked me anything in that 2.5 hour meeting that we had. So that's my.
So Ikaika, do you guys have a determination for A, B, or C? Or D?
Because it's all same as well.
Yeah,
but it's in different locales, right? So I think because, no, we don't. But we weren't able to have a recommendation ready for today on those events. On all four.
Five. A, B, C, D, or four.
But we don't get Ilani presented anyway. If we worried about the one district.
So
maybe, how about this? How about if we ask for a little break right now, since people have to move their car and go to the bathroom anyway, and we can review, because we haven't had a chance to review the genealogy, and we can, we have the genealogy, and then we can make a better determination on whether or not we want to recommend.
My only concern is this, and I, just to be totally clear, and I apologize if people already understand, but if we don't wait for a recommendation from SHPD, the likelihood that someone will step up and challenge it is very high, because not that we're supposed to, but that's the traditional, you know.
But
route.
Think about it. Everybody on this body might not be at the same level understanding someone's mo'okua home presented to you this way. So to be fair to everybody in the house, I think it's important that everyone be given the same recommendation.
Yeah.
You know, and given presented with the same evidence by both sides, not just limited to one side. I'm not trying to
like I'm familiar with.
But I might not be on the same page for both locations. I might say maybe I might feel strongly about Wahey because it's Pete Lania, I know that for sure.
Yeah.
And be on the fence because I'm not sure what the AG is going to say when it comes to Moku District. Or
and we know
want to stand,
yeah,
and
yeah.
stand up to it and say that Moku is, you know, a district
then
is.
Claim it to take on okay.
I think we have to try and condense this into this short period of time and weigh all the potential risks that we are facing is kind of not doing our due diligence in a way.
Yeah.
You know? So let's take
a break.
Yeah.
Break story.
Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Move cards if you need to because I know I have to and we'll be back. Yeah.